Abigail, thanks for talking with KWBU today. The Armor of Light explores the relationship between American gun culture and conservative Christianity. And I'm wondering, for you, what's the moment when you realized these two cultures crossed?
Well, it kind of came to me in a bit of an epiphany, you know, when I was, you know, I would watch these laws get passed, and they would feel like they were just, at the end of the day, just expanding the ways in which you could deploy a weapon in public, you know, and when they took the duty to retreat out of self-defense law, that just struck me as just a Rubicon we should not be crossing. It's a way of saying that a death is not the worst outcome in this confrontation. And that, I don't know when this country switched into that country. And so it did strike me that we needed to take something of a fresh moral and spiritual look at it. And the people who speak the most moral and spiritual discourse in public in our country are evangelical Christians, and yet they're also, you know, incredibly supportive of this agenda. So especially in the way they talk about the sanctity of every single human life when they talk about abortion. So that just seemed like an incredibly fruitful place to go and to just sort of explore how this works in an evangelical's life.
The film, in part, follows an evangelical minister, Rob Shank, and early on in the documentary, he's at somewhat of a moral crossroads, trying to come to terms with what he says is a moral failing of his community. Did he receive any backlash or become the center of attacks for taking this view?
It's not a popular view. And yeah, there's been backlash. The film's been out. We opened originally at Tribeca last year, so it's been exactly a year. But I will tell you, we were buckling in for a terrible backlash, and it hasn't been nearly as bad as we thought it would be, because there are people who have said to us things like, "You're speaking my secret language," or "Thank God someone is finally saying this." In some of the most conservative communities in the country, they're saying that to us. So I and Rob both have been incredibly pleasantly surprised by how much traction the film is getting, and, you know, and how little blowback there's been.
And was Rob hesitant at all to talk to you because of this unfavorable opinion he has?
Well, you asked that question, and I kind of chuckle a little to myself because, yes, very hesitant. And I was constantly kidding and, you know, trying to get him to be a little more brave. But thankfully, he didn't listen to me. He was very cautious and very conscious about the steps that he took, in part because he's a very relational person. He loves the people he's among. They're his friends and his family, and he doesn't want to alienate them. But also because, you know, it's important to get this right. And, you know, he doesn't want to go sort of flailing forward into the unknown without a real sense of the unintended consequences, maybe, and the ripple effect of what he does. So there was hesitation at the beginning, and I now see it as he was really actually being incredibly thoughtful and cautious. And right now, I think all his hesitation is just gone. He's gotten more certain every day since the film came out.
Now, the other person the film follows is Lucy McBath, the mother of Jordan Davis, an unarmed teen who was shot and killed in Florida in 2012. Can you talk about her story and how it serves as somewhat of a counter to the other narratives we hear in the film?
Yeah. Well, Lucy McBath, obviously, her story is of a person who's actually had more than an abstract relationship with what a gun does. And so obviously she's the only person in the film who's speaking for people who, you know, really, really had a gun tear their life apart. And all the rest of everybody is really speaking in the abstract. And it's a little bloodless, right? It's a little lacking in passion. And so when Lucy speaks, she speaks from the depths of her pain. You know, one of the things about her is that's really powerful is when she cries, she never wipes her tears away. And I don't know if it's a conscious decision that she makes, but they lie there on her face. And they are, they're like calling out to you, you know, because the enormity of what she has suffered, you know, you just cannot overestimate it. So, you know, in many cases, you would consider the Lucy Macbeth story, and I don't mean to sound dismissive here, but most gun films are basically the story of a person who's lost somebody, and the filmmaker says, I want you to feel this pain so that you'll change your mind about these things. And that's to imply that people who carry guns don't care about her pain, and that's why that's never a very persuasive argument to people. That's not what we were saying at all. What Lucy does now is totally informed by her faith. And the more time we spent with her, the more we realized she was speaking exactly the same language Rob was speaking, and that they would make an incredible alliance if they ever met. And that's exactly how it turned out. I mean, Lucy took Rob from teetering, you know, in indecisiveness to really boldly moving forward.
Now, you're screening the movie in Waco, a historically conservative and religious area. How do you think the film will come across considering its message?
Well, you know, the gun argument, such as it is, you know, is sort of characterized by a lot of yelling on both sides. And I think that's because both sides have their trolls. But the trolls don't really take up much of the continuum from one side to the other. Most of us are somewhere in between where the trolls lie. So the trick is when you show it in a place that's, you know, heavily concentrated with people who have an alternate point of view, is to kind of define the trolls out of the conversation and let everyone else speak. Because everyone else is really speaking the heart and the voice of the community. So we try our best in these conversations to kind of lift up, for instance, the women's voice, because it's very rare that women in these communities speak up about it. And, you know, my experience is in even the most conservative places, the women are with us. And young people, they also tend to lean in our direction as well. So, you know, I'm convicted. I have a confidence in the power of this ethical and moral argument. So we left the film as an invitation to a conversation and a very, very open, you know, it doesn't determine what you're supposed to think when you come out of it. And we did that deliberately because we know that the right thing speaks for itself. And that's what, in some of the most conservative places in the country, that's basically where we've landed in almost every place. So I hope people will come out to the screening because it's, you know, it's been a really powerful experience to talk with people afterwards.
And lastly, Abigail, it's my understanding that for some of the showings at theaters, you've offered free admission to NRA members. How did that exactly work and what was that response like, if any?
Well, sadly, I wasn't in any of the theaters that the NRA members took us up on that offer, so I wasn't able to really interact with them. Although we have had NRA members at other screenings, and there are those who are really, really defensive, right? And the minute you just say, "Can we just talk?" they're swinging. And those, again, those are the trolls. But we know that the NRA is populated by more than just trolls. There are good, decent people who are members and have been members all of their lives who are happy to talk about it, you know, in good faith. And so you'd be very surprised by the people who have, you know, said to us, you know, "You've changed my heart on this subject. I want to think about this more." So, we loved inviting the NRA members. I would love for them to show up, you know, Monday night. That would be really great because I love hearing from them, you know, because it's more complex than everybody makes it seem.
Abigail, thanks for talking with KWBU today.
Thanks so much.
Abigail Disney is the director of the documentary The Armor of Light, which explores the relationship between American gun culture and conservative Christianity. The film screens tonight at Baylor University. This is KWBU FM.